Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we have another great show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality and science and all that sort of stuff, and health tonight as well. I know the last couple of weeks we've been talking about health, but this is a more wider general picture, we'll say, of health in general. Yeah, a general picture of health in general. I guess that's right. Okay. And also, I found out just a few minutes ago that we have the opportunity, and we're, of course, going to use it, to go to a longer show again tonight. The people that were going to come in tonight and be the next hour, I guess for whatever reason, they're not going to do it tonight. They're planning, as I think, to do it next week. So that being the case, we get to go, yes, for that longer show, to the half hour after the hour. So we're going to go an hour and a half today, and that's fantastic. I also want to mention to you that if you have any questions or thoughts about the show, you can contact me at wyattlifeis.com. So I sometimes don't get that in later in the show, and then people say, well, how do we reach that guy? Oh, he didn't tell us. Well, that's because I get busy, you know, thinking about what I'm talking about, and then I may not mention that. So if you want more information about anything we're talking about, you can do that. Of course, you can still call in. You know that. The numbers are on the screen in case you are doing this through the computer. Now, if you are listening on the telephone, I'll give you at least a U.S. number. It's 877-876-5227 if you're on the phone, because I know a number of you may be on the phone listening, and you could be anywhere. That means you could be anywhere you want to dial in and listen. And I think that's a neat way of hearing the show as well. Okay, so tonight's show is on the metaphysical principles of holistic health. That's a long name. And it's going to be an adjunct to some of the stuff that we've talked about before in the last few weeks especially. Yes, it does have something to do with our new pain stuff that's coming out that's going to hopefully get rid of the pains and aches that people have. But it's much wider than that. This is more about the state of how we stay healthy and what we can do to improve our health, the things that in physics terms, which is really metaphysics, but it's also somewhat physics, what is the principles that apply, and how come allopathic medicine, which is the medicine that's, you know, in those of you in the United States or in the western part of the world are more familiar with, but is not necessarily an accurate model. I know that a lot of people think, oh, well, how could it not be accurate? Our medical schools are teaching it. The FDA enforces it if you're in the United States. But it is actually a fairly inaccurate model, and it has many, many, we'll say, misleading understandings that don't support the truth. So I'm going to talk about some of that as the show moves on tonight. So let me talk about, first of all, defining what I mean by metaphysical principles. Metaphysical principles are the principles that are beyond the present physics that we could support the understandings I'm going to be talking about with. So there isn't the full level of evidence that physics, at least in the Western world, seeks to have as evidence to support. But there's a lot more than you might think. It's just that it's been suppressed over time. And holistic health means that we're looking at everything that causes someone to remain healthy and not get ill, which is way, way beyond what someone might do if they were following the allopathic model. And this is the reason that allopathic science, Western science, doesn't necessarily cure most chronic diseases. And it has an abysmal record on many of them, like 80, 90% failure rate in some of them. So in reality, what we're really talking about here is how do you get to like a 90% success rate or better, and how do you deal with chronic diseases that regular allopathic medicine isn't working on? I mean, it's great. If you're in a car accident and I'm not hoping you're not, but if you were, Western medicine has a lot of things it can do for you. It puts you on these machines. They can usually raise your blood pressure if it's falling. If it's too high, they can lower it. They can immediately intervene with surgical methods that will oftentimes save a life, save your life, save money. But the problem is that those kinds of procedures, as intervening and very invasive as they are, don't really work on the majority of the illnesses, the diseases that people actually have. If you have arthritis, osteoarthritis, or worse, rheumatoid arthritis, or if you have many forms of cancer, or if you have, or if we have, I should say, any kind of ailment, be it anything from diabetes to whatever that is of a nature that is a dysfunction of a area of the body, usually an organ that's not working properly, then there's not a heck of a lot that allopathic medicine does except reduce some of the symptomatology, but not at the same time actually present a cure. Sometimes the treatment itself actually causes damage of other organs. If you have heart disease, can be treated and a person's life can be extended, but oftentimes not without causing some damage to the liver or kidneys. So, I mean, you have all these other things that you're balancing, and it's a difficult area because they're using drugs in many cases. Sometimes they're using other things. There's devices that help with arrhythmias, etc. But nonetheless, it's sort of like everything is a Band-Aid in comparison to a cure. And that's the problem. Now, I don't want to demean our medical professionals, and I assume some of those are listening to my voice right now. Here's the point. I'm sure every medical doctor took the Hippocratic Oath. And you want to do the best you possibly can, regardless of whether you have a belief system that follows what seems to be working or not. So I would like you to have maybe an open mind here and realize I'm really not condemning some allopathic methods. They actually are very helpful. It's just that the ones that are used for the worst diseases don't give us the best results. And I'm going to give you some options and some alternatives. All right, let's talk about some of the metaphysical issues. And this gets to physics. The problem, as I see it, and I am not alone in this, is that medical science in the Western part of the world doesn't believe in a spiritual side of human beings, doesn't even believe that there's a magnetic or electromagnetic part of our existence in the physical world, and further doesn't believe there are extra-dimensional parts to us that we may call astral or and/or monastic, etc. And these parts all play into whether or not we're healthy. The astral is what a lot of people call our emotional system. The monastic would be how we think. So when you put all this together, how we feel about things and how we think about things may be more important than the medicine you're taking in some circumstances. And even if it isn't, it has some role to play. And yet, that isn't where most of the medical model that's allopathic falls. And then the other issue is drugs. Because drugs are so much founded on material or physical, dense physical results and not very much on the electromagnetic issues that are involved, especially things called phase relationships, then the problem is that you're treating a person more like they're a thing, like a machine, rather than a living organism. Because a living organism, you have to include these other energies that are very important. Last week we talked about chi and how important that is, and prana. Well, that's not part of Western medicine. Yes, I know that's part of Eastern medicine in several different parts of the East, from China to India and other areas, Tibet. But the point is, well, the old Tibet, not as it is today, because it doesn't really exist anymore. But the point is that it was and is a critical element. And it's those parts that are missing and causing the problems, in my opinion. So what then do we do? Well, let's look at the problem from the metaphysical standpoint. The electromagnetic parts of us, sometimes called the etheric body, it's really a kind of a duplication of our physical body in electromagnetic energy instead of physical energy. That's what it looks like, and that's how it responds. It has, moving through it, chi energy and pranic energies. And those energies are what enliven it and keep it going. When the energies are either too little or too much in one center or a bunch of centers, and these are minor centers now, the body begins to become weakened, and it allows the outside elements of energy to collect. But some of the energy actually is coming from the negative chi and negative prana itself. And this negative chi and negative prana can actually produce, we'll call it, pre-life organisms that have recently been found. And I don't know if you know about this. There's a new type of organism that's a nanobacteria. I mean, it's smaller than a virus. And I'm not kidding you. Viruses are pretty small. They're down to a couple of microns, right? Well, these nanobacteria are 100 to 1,000 times smaller than a virus. Now, that may scare you or surprise you, but I'm telling you something that has been found in modern medical science in the West, not something that's part of Eastern thought in and of itself, although they projected or they believed it existed. They just didn't ever find it. Now they found this. And these are scary, scary things. Because what they are the predecessors to all kinds of bacteria, virus, and molds and fungi that can infect us. And if you don't believe me, then you need to go to the internet and check this out, because these things really exist. And it's just scaring the heck out of some doctors, because what the ramifications are, we have no way of treating it. We can barely even see them. And we don't have a way of seeing them without them being dead, so it's another problem. Okay, so these particles that are running around, and were recently in some courses I took in medicine, they're being presented as part of the new medical science. You should be aware of that. I'm not kidding you about this. This is not metaphysics now. This is an adjunct to metaphysics, but it's been discovered. And it was predicted by metaphysics. Typically, metaphysics is 20 to 40 years ahead of regular physics. Okay, so what are these particles, what are they like? What are they doing? Where they're bits and pieces of molecules, they're very, very small, and they appear to be present virtually instantaneously, caused by weakening in the immune systems, by medical definition, or I would prefer saying, a weakening in the prana and chi systems of the etheric body, of the electromagnetic part of us. This weakening usually is a, we'll say, wrong type of phase. What do I mean by phase? Phase is the same as saying direction of the movement of the energy. The energy, instead of moving freely and in the direction it should be moving, is moving either in an opposite direction, which is very bad. That can cause some severe diseases. Or it's moving at an angle, not directly down the meridians that it should be. And that's caused by some of it being retained in some of the centers and not being able to move where it should be able to move through each center without any restriction. So some centers, the energy has a restriction to it, and it has to make a kind of a turn. to go to another center so it can move someplace. Because if it completely stops, it becomes very negative. So it does the best it can. But every time you have a phase shift in energy, you have the production of these particles. So you don't catch a lot of germs. You create them. And again, this is not metaphysics now. This is from some courses, a whole bunch of them, that I took in medicine from a very well-known teaching medical professor. So this is so new that most people are probably, you know, unaware of this. And I doubt that most doctors are aware of this. So these nanobacteria, of which there are about 3 or 4 different names that have been given to them, and not one of them is completely stuck yet, so I'm just using the general idea. This is a scary thing because it also is what I wrote about in Life's Hidden Meaning. So if you go back to that book, I wrote that book in the 90s. That's some time ago. But, yes, and I wrote about this concept. So what are we saying here? We're saying that basically the real problem with disease isn't that it's from the outside and we're catching it. It's that we're producing it inside of us. Now, can we catch disease? Yes. You've known that in many programs I've said you can catch it because if someone injects you with a disease or if you're around a lot of people with some nasty things, you can get that from them. It's possible. But a lot of people don't get diseases from other people. They get them by creating negative energy inside themselves, and the negative energy is because it's flowing at a different phase. Sometimes it's reversed, and sometimes it stops, which is even worse than just changing its direction. These are all terrible consequences of what? Well, the first thing that causes this problem, and the one that causes it the worst and the most, is our own thoughts and feelings. If we have a lot of negative feelings, especially if we repress them, it can cause this disease process to take place, sometimes leading to cancers, especially if we're denying terrible things that we may have known to other people, bad things, that can lead to a cancer or a type of cancerousness. But each disease is specific to the kind of thought that connects our consciousness to a specific major center, that's a chakra, either one or two, usually two. And so it really has a lot to do with how we think, because energy follows thought greater than its own, and the energy of these little tiny, tiny, tiny things that we're talking about, nanobacteria, is so slight that we can create this in virtually no time at all by how we think and feel. I told you how we feel, how that can cause it. If you think arrogantly or egotistically and you block out other people's thoughts, you start a cycle that within a month or two from that point, you start resisting both mental energy and astral energy that eventually becomes copied in the etheric or electromagnetic part of us, and sure enough, you're going to have the little nanobacterias running around. Okay? Now, the nanobacterias can become other things. They may not stay nanobacterias. They may become viruses. Yeah, it's possible. Depends where they end up. Do they end up on the fourth electromagnetic or etheric plane, or subplane, I should say, or do they end up on the second? Where they end up is how they manifest. And it's based somewhat on the amount of emotion and thought. What else is it dependent upon? Well, some of the diseases actually do come from some outside, we'll call it poisons that we encounter. And there's a lot of those in our society. And so some of them, not very many, about 10% of the cancers, a few percent of some other diseases are caused by actual things in our environment. Really. So people who say, well, you know, it's what you eat, it's what you breathe, et cetera. Yeah, it is. But not 100% by any stretch. But to some extent, yes. And if you're in a really bad place where there's a tremendous amount of toxins in the food you're eating, or if you're a smoker, I know, you don't like me saying it if you're a smoker, but that's the truth. If you're a smoker or you're addicted to drugs and or alcohol, or just plain using maybe too much of some, we'll say, medicine that may be prescribed to you by a person who's trying to do something good but is maybe doing something bad for you. But all those things can be toxic and produce these ill effects. And those effects, accumulatively, do have a significant level of disease cause. But probably, if we're looking at the total number, it's still how you think and how you feel. And finally, the most important thing of all, are you ready for this? What you choose to do, how you behave in both your speech and actions with others around you. That takes the biggest toll if you're into a negative frame with that. That'll produce the most amount of diseases. It'll stop you from healing if you're sick, and it will bring on much more illness. If you want to produce a lot of these nano bugs, you can do so. And as you produce them, your immunity system will drop, your healing system will go away, and you'll be in a state of moving towards death, as we all are in some capacity, but I'm talking about much more quickly. Okay, so this may be, a surprise to you. I don't doubt it is. Even when I was going through these classes, I have to tell you, I was amazed that this subject or these subjects were being covered, because I had given up that it would ever enter into the traditional medical teachings. And yet now it is, for the first time. I was pleased, by the way. I was just a little shocked, I've been talking about that for 20 or 30 years. All of a sudden, there it is right in front of me. So it was really uplifting to know that that was something that now I could share with other people without them thinking I'm crazy. And at the same time, some of the things that I know are still not being taught, that they're just at the beginning of this process, not the end. There's also a shift in energies. Coming in the next 10 years, we're going to see more and more of this sort of thing become part of modern medicine. And our poor FDA, that is, are becoming more and more Nazis under the present administration, they're going to be stuck out in the cold. Now, remember, I said that. But for the next 5 or 10 years, watch out, because these guys have really, really adopted the medical model, because they're controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, they're controlled by them. And also by a government that now wants to take control over our lives in virtually every way and be totalitarian in a number of ways. And so this is one way they can do it. And so we can look forward to that. And that means that there's going to be a tremendous battle, because the truth is not on their side. But many people will suffer and die earlier because of the enforcement of allopathic models. Remember, if you're a drug company, you buy into the allopathic model because it's what protects your interests. You can patent things. The FDA will do your dirty work for you and put everybody else out of business that is competing with things that are not allopathic. And even though many more people may suffer and die, you can claim that you're doing so many good things by creating these new drugs that half the time are more toxic than the illness that the person has. Of course, that's not something that they usually cover. Okay, so these are the things that we are facing. And hopefully, there will be a gentle revolution, changeover, not violent, to a more holistic approach to health that will include some of the ideas that I am suggesting, assuming they can be proven to be true, Now, I've proven them to myself, but you need to prove them to yourself and to work with people who know something about this. Not everybody has the whole picture that claims to be a holistic health person. They may know bits and pieces, but they haven't put it all together. Hopefully you'll listen to the show. And if you are and you're in the field, call me. I'll be glad to share many more technical issues that I won't talk about on the phone, because it's most of the people listening to this are not practitioners. They're people who are literally just looking for answers. Okay, what else is there to know about the metaphysical principles? Well, first of all, beyond anything, which I probably should have started with, this is really a way of discovering God. We get ill because we're not behaving, feeling, and thinking in ways that are godly. That's what I just went through with you. Now, you could say, well, gee, what, all of 28 minutes or 29 minutes before he said anything about the God thing? Yeah, I did. But, you know, that's part of what this show is about. It's about spiritual factors. And God's mind is represented by what we call spirit. And so, at least the thoughts part, thinking parts of it. And so here, when you consider this, that why wouldn't it be that as a result of behaving, feeling, and thinking against God, we don't eventually get ill and suffer the consequences and destroy our, at least physical body, and somewhat our other bodies, although with those don't get as harmed because the focus of our consciousness while we're physically alive is on a physical body and senses. So that's where the, most of the energy goes, and that's why we damage that so much. But why would it not make sense? I mean, if, figure it out. If you were God and you wanted to communicate something and you couldn't get it through in any other way, illness is a pretty good way. It humbles people. It gives them a sense of, we'll say, seeking faith, seeking something greater than themselves because they can't solve the problem themselves. And it really attacks arrogance quite well, because someone who's arrogant thinks they know everything, suddenly they can't cure themselves or someone they care a great deal about of whatever it is that they're dealing with. It definitely breeds humility. And that's what God and our soul want, is for us to learn humility. Hopefully not that way. And if you think about it, if the way to cure yourself is to go through all the different systems that I just presented, then being closer to God and being co-creative with God in your actions, feelings, and thoughts, if that's the cure for the disease, it's also the cure for being a soul, for being humble, and for getting over arrogance, selfishness, greed, you name it, even hostile, destructive actions. So this is a terrific way, if you're God, but we might consider it to be cruel. And I don't, by the way, but it is possible to look at it from the side of, well, why should people get sick just because they aren't behaving as good people or souls? But think of a better system. What else could we, if you were God and you didn't want to directly interfere, you know, like knock on a person's door and say, hi, I'm God, you're doing bad things. Well, if you don't want to and you can't really do that because it would be directly interfering, then this is not a bad system. I know it sounds terrible, particularly for the people who are suffering through terrible diseases. And then you got to ask yourself, well, what about children and what about people who have these diseases from a very young age? Well, the interesting thing about that is that then you have to understand reincarnation and that we're really dealing with karmic issues from earlier lifetimes when the illnesses come out that early. They're not things, you know, a one-year-old or a two-year-old hasn't done anything that could really be against God. They don't even have enough of a personality yet to be doing those kinds of choices. But their last life, that's a different story. Or in the lives before that, there's an accumulation of energy that's negative in the gene, depending upon how a spiritual gene, depending upon how much of that spiritual gene was used in creating that next personality and the next person, then that's how much of that from that lifetime will be introduced into the person. And when it comes out, it's based a lot on the nature of the karma. There's also astrological things that even get involved in that, but it's too complicated. The important thing is to realize that it can hit you at a later time in life or a very early time in life, depending upon the nature of the karma. More lifetimes that haven't been dealt with and that you get spiritual genes from, those are going to produce usually earlier effects, sometimes very severe ones. Then you're literally dying for the benefit of those around you, who oftentimes are caregivers, parents, grandparents, close friends of the family. And it's to undo sometimes harm that was done to those very same people in a different way, in a different life. Sometimes not. Depends on the nature of the karma. Yeah. Okay. So leaving karma aside, most illness in people's lives, past about age 40, is, well, we'll say past, yeah, about 42, is caused by their own actions in that particular life. Most illness is caused by their own actions. And almost certainly is true by the time you get past 49 to 56. If you live that long, then most of your illnesses are really related to the lifetime that you're in. Just so you know. Now, I know there's going to be some people that are going to say, how does he know that? Well, I'm not going to go back. That's too complicated. Read Chapter 11 of Life, Sin, and Meaning. It's a textbook I wrote. It'll kind of explain it. And if you still don't understand it, send me an email or call me. And I'll try to explain it then. Speaking of emails, one of our listeners asked me, well, where do you get all your information from? You know, I've had that asked me quite a few times. But every once in a while, I'll answer the questions so that people know it. Because when I wrote Life's Hidden Meaning, I made it clear, and some articles I also wrote before that, I made it clear that I wasn't channeling or, you know, I do have a teacher, but my teacher doesn't teach me those kinds of things for the most part. So what is that? Where do I get the quote-unquote ability to talk to you like I am right now? Tonight's show was supposed to be only a 55-minute show, and it's turning into going to be an hour and a half show. So how is that? How is it that I'm doing this, right? Because if I'm actually doing it, and I am, then it's not written out, and it's not coming from someplace else. And no, I'm not channeling somebody's dead grandmother or something, or mine. What I'm doing is I'm reaching into a part of what is known as the rain cloud of knowable things. Oh, what's that? Sounds like something almost like Native American Indian or something. It's not too far away from some of the things that they might say, but what it really is the ability to reach a state of omniscience or all knowledge about something that I'm fully giving, focused out to others. Not for myself. It can't be used for myself at this time, or even someone that I'm directly, personally connected to. It has to be done in a teaching capacity or in some wider perspective of givingness. And then I am able to do that. You could say, oh, well, what was that, like an altered state? Yeah, it's something like an altered state, if you want to call it that. It's a sense of buddhi. It's a sense of the intuitional body, and it's a controlled sense. Now, you can have occasional flashes of intuition, but those are uncontrolled. You can't do a show like this for an hour and a half using that kind of, you know, a flash of thought here or there. This is totally, we'll say, more involved. And in order to do this, you have to devote your life to service. As you serve more, you can do more of this sort of thinking. And so what I'm doing is I'm getting will say combined thought of great thinking, and then I'm adding to that thought the ability to put it in mental form, because this is above the mental world, so it's not part of our normal human experience. And I'm making it so by using my mental mind in service to all of you that I'm talking with. And you might say, oh, that sounds like it's really far out there. Are you just making that up? Now, if you think I am, that's okay. But if you can explain what I'm doing in some other fashion, please do so. So at any rate, that's what I'm doing. And I'm doing it for all of you out there. I'm not doing it for myself. There's nothing for me, because for me it's just a joy of knowing that all of you have received something that will be of hopefully of some benefit. And if it's not a benefit to everybody, that I can't control either. But it's also possible, even probable. There's some things that I say that don't ring true for some people, and that's all right. I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. I'm only here to give what I can in as coherent a way as possible, and for others to determine the validity of it as they live their lives and check it out. Okay, so let me go on now with this concept. Well, actually, before we go on, we're running out of time for this half of the show. So let me tell you what we're going to do in the next part of the show. I'm going to get to some more practical examples of holistic health, where we're headed in the next 10 to 20 years, if all goes well, or next 200 years, if all goes unwell, and what we can do today to try to promote more of these principles of holistic health, because if we don't, we're going to suffer terrible consequences, mostly through governmental regulation and reduction of freedom. We've already lost a major part of our freedom in the last century, but now it's really getting serious. So we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about other things as well when we come back in about 2.5 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for a better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Music.
we're back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. I was just going over some of my distant past when I worked for a company long time ago as a chemist. Long time ago. I was going to graduate school. So, all right, where are we? We are talking about the metaphysical principles of holistic health, and I think it's appropriate to let you know that without us moving towards holistic health, as we'll call it, our model, we're going to significantly lose population in this country and most other Western countries. We're going to lose standard of living and lifestyle. And if you don't believe it, then look at the last 30 years, because that's what's coming in spades. Why? Because the allopathic model is mostly a failure for the diseases that really are affecting us on a long-term basis. And more people are being affected by these. Now, it is true that with some cancers, as an example, if you are diagnosed early enough, and if you're lucky enough to have the kind that a modality has proven to be somewhat successful with, your chances of surviving for 5 years or longer today are better than they ever were in the past. But the problem is this. The chance of getting a secondary cancer if you got chemo or radiotherapy is higher than it was in the past, except you may not get the secondary cancer until 10 years later. Possibly. Usually it's around 5. That's why they stop at 5 years, because that's usually when you get the cancer that's secondary. Or the old one, they say, came back. But the other problem is, and this is probably more important, the quality of life goes down. The ability to ward off other diseases goes down. And more things come to get you to ruin your life. Maybe you won't die from cancer, but then you suddenly find out that you're liver isn't working very well, or some other thing isn't working the way it should be. Your life still isn't that much longer than average. Now, granted, you didn't die earlier from cancer, but you didn't survive later as a fully productive person. And maybe you were ill for a lot of those years. This is the sort of thing that's happening. We're becoming chronically ill as a population. And it's draining us financially. It's draining us physically and emotionally, and it's taking its toll in terms of families and the structure of society. And instead of looking for an answer that is an answer in freedom and God, we're looking for an answer with government and with dictatorship and with rules and laws that force us to become worse rather than better. There will be no answers, just the blind alley with death at the end. That's where we're headed. I realize many of you may have thought that the health care plan they passed is going to be a great deal. I mean, one thing that sounds good is, well, if you have a pre-existing condition, then at least you can get insurance. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. It also takes most of the responsibility away from everybody about what they're going to be doing to keep themselves healthy. The government's already decided last week that you can't drink one of the Coca-Cola products with the present claims they're making, because they're claiming that vitamins and other things in it are good for you. It's called, I think it's called Vita something or other, Vita water, it may not be the best thing for you. But the government now wants to prevent Coca-Cola from making any statements about it, and maybe even from selling it altogether in some places. If you go into New York, there are no salt shakers on the restaurant tables, because that state says that salt's bad for you. You probably don't know that unless you live in New York State or New York City. I'm not sure if it's a state or just a city. Now, and then, What about other things, like other freedoms? Well, the government says that now things like artificial sweeteners and sugar aren't good for you, sugar also. So you shouldn't drink things that are sweet, I guess. And so they're going to start limiting that. They're going to limit foods that cause you to gain weight. So I want you to think about this. If someone is telling you what they think is right or wrong for you, and they're using the allopathic model, which is mostly wrong in itself, how is that going to help people? Pretty scary stuff, huh? Now, you might say, oh, but you're just making that up. No, I'm not making it up. It's in the health care bill, which you probably haven't read because it's huge. Most of the Congress people who voted for it, both the Congressmen and women and the senators, never read it. They were told not to read it. Just trust the administration. They know what they're saying. So, you see, they've got boards. And the boards are going to determine what is healthy for people and what isn't. And they have the power to control what is put into food through the FDA. So who becomes the most powerful agency in the government? The food and drug people, of course. Now, if that isn't scary enough, let's go a step further. Once you start losing the freedom of what you consume, what you can buy, what you can sell, what you can recommend to others, what you can say on a show like this, and what you can say on the internet, and what you can breathe, and how much, and what kinds of things you have to pay for or not. Once you reach those kinds of levels, you've reached a dictatorship. Whether you want to call it that or not, it doesn't matter. That is the definition of a dictatorship if it's coming from one source, the government in this particular case. So you could claim the dictatorship is spread over not just one person. It may actually be a conglomerate, including the Food and Drug Administration. But the point is, it's still a dictatorship. And the power is focused in one place with others telling you what to do. That is not the principles of our Constitution or the United States. And it's what the founders of our country fought against, gave up many lives for, and created a government to try to prevent. But that government can be and is being corrupted to the point where it no longer resembles what was the founders' idea. How serious is this going to be in terms of health? I think health is going to be the number one issue. Why? Because nothing touches us closer than health, and that's what I ended the last session with. It's why God chose that we get sick when we aren't godly. Nothing will let us know more that there's tyranny when we can't make ourselves healthy because others are making us ill and preventing us from becoming healthy. Nothing will present a revolt. Nothing will create a revolt, I should say. Nothing will produce just, we'll say, outrage more than that event. And the most amazing thing is that people in power did everything they possibly could to get this health care bill passed. And they brought about and are bringing about their own demise. Maybe not for years to come, but eventually. Because they're not on the side of God. God seeks freedom, not a system of serfdom and people being the slave of the state. Now, I'm against cigarettes. I don't eat animals and many other things. But I would never initiate laws or rules preventing people who are adults from making those decisions themselves. Now, if you're a child and your parents want something a certain way, you have a responsibility to listen and try to follow parental guidance, if you object, you have a right to say so, of course. But the point is, children are a special class. They don't have all the civil rights that adults have. They have most of them, a lot of them, but they don't have all of them. Because if they did, they would have their majority and they would be adults. They have to, unfortunately, listen to their parental guidance. And the reason for that is they don't have the capacity to be making all the decisions that adults make. But once you have the capacity, you have the responsibilities and the rights to be free. Okay, so God wants freedom for all people. God also wants us to be loving and caring towards each other and be charitable and to exercise good, loving wisdom, judgment. Those are things that are part of God. Freedom alone, without those other things, are not right either. So we still have issues about health care, and I want to talk about those before I get into some of the more, we'll say, futuristic issues that I think are important to talk about. Right now, it's possible this health care bill in the United States may fail to actually become fully operational, because there's 20 states that are fighting, and there's a lot of people who are awakening to some of what I've told you about this evening. But even if that's the case, it's not compassionate to say that people who do have illness, just because it's their karma or their mistake, they did smoke, they did do this or that, that they have to suffer with no health care. And this is, I think, an important point that I don't want to be lost in everything I talk about. It isn't wrong for us as a nation, as a charitable nation, to offer to people a major medical type of health care that only covers, you can't go to the doctor anytime you're feeling, only covers something so serious that you are incapable of paying for it yourself, dealing with it yourself, that sort of thing. And in those situations, I think that sort of health care, major medical, is reasonable to be available to people on a completely volunteer basis. In some cases, all people have to do is sign up, would have to do is sign up for it, because if they had zero money, they couldn't even pay for it. And that would be okay. I wouldn't be against that, because it's charity, in effect. And it's part of saying that some people have made mistakes, but they shouldn't suffer completely isolated from the fact that they're part of a nation and part of a group, if you want to call it that, of a nation, and that we can do something for those folks. But for the rest of us, no, I don't believe that that should be something that we all take advantage of without paying a significant cost for it, and then it be completely 100% voluntary, not universal. Now, there's complications in the system. I don't want you to think it's just that easy to make a system from what I just said that would work, but it could be done, and it would not affect the freedom of others, and you still can have a free market system. The way to do it, though, is what we're going to talk about the rest of the show, which is to have a holistic system, not based upon allopathic medicine, where the majority of the system is about keeping people well, not by force, not even by suggestion, as much as by education and opportunity. Give people the opportunity to be well and let them choose. But that seems very reasonable to me. And I'll give you an example. Let's say for someone who isn't already in a serious way, if they want to have major health care that is supported to some extent by a government-run program, then if it's holistic, part of joining that program would be to join in on a health care program, one in which health is the emphasis and not illness. Now, does that mean that you have to stop eating sugar or stop smoking? No. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that what the emphasis of the program is that how you manage to choose to be in that program is still up to you. You're not forced to do anything, but it's offered as an option. That would be a lot more sensible method. What about the rest of us? Do we need health care? Do you need to pay someone in case you get sick because you don't think you're going to be able to do it yourself, figure it out yourself, or you don't want to have the unknown cost involved? Well, that's an option. And if you choose to take that option, that's okay. But if we have holistic health care rather than allopathic health care, not throwing out all of allopathic medicine, I don't believe in that. But if we bring the two together, we start to have something that makes a lot more sense. Because then, every year, a holistic program is in practice, the cost of health care will drop rather than go up if everything that I've said in tonight's show, or most of it, is true. Of course, we have to determine the validity of the things that I'm suggesting tonight, including all the spiritual issues involved. But spiritually and financially, healthcare, instead of raising 10% every year, whatever it is, will go down every year, making it more and more affordable for greater numbers of people. If they choose to have that and they don't want to have the frightening idea that they may have to pay for things themselves, and what if they really got sick and all this other stuff. So you see, this is a very interesting idea, and you can also see that this also leads to a future that is quite different than the one that we're presently headed for, because people become much more responsible for who and what they are. Now, if you are into, you know, boozing it up and taking illegal or legal drugs and being addicted and smoking and eating terrible foods with high calories and fat and whatever else you think might be not good or whatever, and low protein, if you're doing all that stuff, then that's fine. But you're doing it with informed consent, and you're doing it based upon a free market system. So if it's a free market system and holistic health care has become part of it, then all those things that you're doing now become expenses if you want to buy insurance. Or they become non-expenses if you're doing the opposite, and the insurance becomes less and less costly. Now, what's going to happen in a free market system? Well, you know and I know what's going to happen. Insurance is going to go down in cost, and people are going to become healthier at the same time, because except for the really diehard, you know, people who just say, yeah, I'm going to do that stuff no matter what, okay, but either they won't have insurance, or they will have a very costly insurance where a significant portion of their cigarette money is going to have to go and pay for the health insurance, because that's what they're going to have to pay for. So it won't be averaged. One of the problems with healthcare today is it's averaged. You see, if you average in all of the issues, you get a large expense. And then they try to get rid of the averages by eliminating previous conditions. Well, previous conditions really don't matter in a holistic system based upon metaphysical principles, because you're a new person every day. Every day that you move towards God and become more spiritual in your life, every day that you take more responsibility for other people and try to service and serve other people, you become healthier. So no matter how much sickness you had before, you're moving towards a model of health, and you're not going to use then a person's pre-existing condition to be what determines what they pay for health. If you're into the holistic model that is spiritual and has metaphysical principles behind it. Okay, so you see, what I'm suggesting is something really very different. I know, and a lot of people are probably scratching their heads and saying, well, when are we going to ever get there? Look where we are today. How are we going to get to there? Well, you know, it doesn't take that much to do. We're really talking about people changing their hearts and minds and making themselves into something, we'll say, that is far greater than who they are today and who they've been, which is why we're here. So as people become more souls, as we all become more souls, as we become more spiritual, more co-creative with our Creator, our health improves, our insurance problems go away, and our health problems go away. Now, does that mean we're going to live forever and we're never going to be sick? No, because we're not going to be perfect. But we're going to be so much better. Everything will be, we'll say, livable. We can live with it. We can make it so that it is affordable, helpful, conscientious, charitable, loving, wise. All those things will become our healthcare system. And it will be a promoter instead of an obstacle and a destroyer of our country and who we are. This is the model that we need to be looking for. And how long do I think it'll take to get there? A minimum of 10 years. Maximum of a couple hundred. Now, 10 years, let's start with a 10-year side. Because a couple hundred, that's, I'm not real thrilled with that answer. But in 10 years, first of all, it's going to take 1 to 2 years to undo what has been done in the last couple of years. Because, unfortunately, we went down the wrong road. We went down the road to socialism and Marxism, and that doesn't work. It's not going to work. It's not only not going to work, it's going to destroy the country. So we've got to undo that. Okay, let's assume we can undo that. Now, that doesn't mean that the progressive people, that's what they call themselves, aren't going to want to fight and do whatever they can to get it their way, because they want to control. They want to be the ones in control. They're the elite. They know better. So there's going to be a lot of unfortunate, we'll call it skirmishes of sorts about these issues. I hope nothing of major violence, no major revolution, but we'll call it a minor revolution. Within a couple years, I believe that we will get rid of most of the corruption in our government. We can't get to where I want to go in 10 years, where I hope we can go in 10 years, without a cleaned up government. That's going to require, unfortunately, some changes. I think that there needs to be term limits put on people because we aren't judicious enough to be able to keep reelecting people. There might be a few that deserve to be reelected for 25, 50 years or whatever. But for the most part, that's not true. And the democratic process should be a term limit in itself. When someone's corrupt, you vote them out. But lying is an art. And propaganda is the means of its highest use. So we're not immune from propaganda or lies, and most of us are challenged to be able to determine when that's happening. So the better thing is to make term limits. My suggestion is keep the 2 terms of president, possibly 2 or 3 terms as a congressperson, and 2 terms as a senator, and you can't change office. You could only serve the maximum of any one of those, and that's it. So here's an interesting thing. That would mean if someone ran for president, they could only serve for as a congressperson one time or as a senator, possibly, depending upon how you make this one time. Now, why would I suggest such a radical thing? Well, because if we go down, keep going down the road we've been going down of corruption, and corruption has been in existence almost since the beginning. The only president we ever had that really, truly, truly had no corruption was Washington. And so, I mean, corruption has been going on for a long time. And so the only way to really get rid of it is to make it so it's not possible to be corrupt. So, and I also suggest that elections be paid for by public monies so that anybody can run for office if they have the ability to do so. And there might be some guidelines and rules. Some states do this. The state I'm in has that. And it's been working. But it gives people a very limited opportunity to create propaganda. That's my concern. Negative advertising is part of propaganda, by the way. So if you're not allowed to run negative ads, that's probably a good thing. Some states prevent that if they pay for the election. But these are things we have to think about. But I'm suggesting this is a cure, not as a total solution. The total solution is that everybody gets more involved in government and that we vote directly as a democracy instead of as a republic, provided that people participate as a quorum. And if they don't, then we have elected officials as a republic to still carry on the government. But it gives everyone then the opportunity and responsibility to be more responsible. I like that idea. And I think we can do it today. I don't think it was possible a couple hundred years ago. I think the founders are absolutely right in saying we had to have a republic. But today, with technology and improvements in consciousness among some people, there's a good chance it might work. Maybe it should be tried in a state or two for a decade or two to see if it really works. I wouldn't want to go to a national system until we could see it working in various states, because it's too scary otherwise. You get the possibility of people being moved en masse to suddenly make decisions. Now, one thing you'd make is that you can't make any significant changes to the Constitution or anything like that without, you know, so many consistent votes every 3 months and that sort of thing, so that nothing could be done so quickly as to create an upheaval. But those are just some things to think about. I'm not suggesting this right now as the immediate solution. The immediate solution may be term limits and some ways of making it work so it's the least destructive in the process. You might say, well, what about the people who are really good at running government and stuff? Why don't we just keep them in there? Well, because the tendency to become corrupt is terrible, and power corrupts, and absolute power absolutely corrupts. And believe those things to be true. So if those things are true statements, then we don't have much of a choice. Okay, so we need to have a freer, much less corrupted government to have holistic health work. Because holistic health is based upon freedom of choice and free marketplace and people making most of the decisions about their health themselves. That's it. That's the way it is. Okay. Then what else do we need to bring about this 10-year program, I'll call it? The McFlower 10-year program by 2020 or whatever. We also need to improve our understanding, education, we'll call it, of holistic health. And we need to include metaphysical principles. Now, a lot of people are going to get upset and say, well, but you're talking about God. You're going to have to teach God in school. Well, this isn't going to be elementary or high school now. We're talking about, you know, advanced degrees, et cetera. And I see nothing wrong with bringing in the concept of spiritual issues. Now, I realize that some people may be offended by that. And I totally believe that people who don't believe in God or spirit should still be able to be a holistic practitioner. maybe nobody's going to go see them, and they might have a very hard time making a living, but I believe they should have a right to do that, including getting a degree. They still have to take the courses, in my opinion. That gives them both sides of the equation, and they can make up their mind. But I think that everything should be on the table. They should learn everything possible, including all elements of the allopathic model and Louis Pasteur and everybody else who thought of it. But the most important element, the most important element is that all choices are available. And those who are participating in a free market system and want to be truly allopathic providers with no spiritual issues and no God or anything, and just come to me and I'll do the best I can, but I don't follow this or that, fine. That's okay. And for those people who want to see that kind of practitioner, that's fine as well. No problem. Now, what I think is going to happen is in a short period of time, we're talking about 10, 15 years, the holistic model, the one that is metaphysical, is going to become so successful that the other models, which are non-spiritual, will fall away. And people will think about the times when we used to be so limited in our approaches, and so many people suffered, and so many people died early because we were so rigid in our thinking. That's what I believe is going to happen. The test will be, obviously, fairly quickly determined if you have a free market system. That's why you have to have a free system. Okay, what's next? Well, let's say that we're not as successful, and corruption remains in government. The FDA still remains to be the boogeyman going after people like me and everybody else who has anything to do with holistic health. And what is going to happen, and then you have Codex, if you don't know what that is, it's as bad or worse than the FDA in some European countries. And many other countries have this as well. So what happens if that dominates? You don't have a freedom, so you don't have a spiritual system. Well, now we're talking instead of 10 years before we start seeing these things happening, try 40 years. 40 years. Then what happens? Well, instead of people being more well, people living longer and healthier and better, economies actually improving because people are more productive and capable of functioning, the opposite happens. We're going to have strife throughout the world, probably lose about half the population from today, let's say from 7 billion, it's not quite that high, but it's down to maybe 3.5 billion people, maybe less. If we have a plague or two, could be down to 2 or 3 billion. Wars, a lot more wars, because people are good. There's not going to be enough food, there's not going to be enough water, there's not going to be enough anything, because everybody's sick. And there's going to be no cures for a lot of illnesses, some that we don't even know about yet. Because in the model I'm suggesting, you got all these nanobacteria creating new diseases literally by the day. Some of them we don't even know what the heck they are. And so this is going to be a major problem. Also, the herbs that I presently am involved in as an herbalist, they won't even be available. So you can forget about them. We'll be lucky if there's going to be any seeds for them. So we're supporting a seed bank here in Arizona. We're giving them some stuff they need to make their seeds and stuff. Why are we doing it? Well, without the seeds, when all this bad stuff happens, we're never going to be able to restart. Because as great as human society is, we don't know how to make seeds. We got to preserve them if we do the right stuff. We don't know how to make them. That's only some of the problems we're facing. Okay, that could be 2050. Now, what happens by 2050? Most likely, worldwide collapse. Governments fail. There's a whole energy side to this I'm not even getting into. It's really bad. we could assume that energy goes the same way as health, so now there's tax credits for crazy things that aren't going to help you, and nobody's still conserving properly, but they're spending lots of money on other crazy things that aren't necessarily going to work as efficiently. And we're not using our resources properly. Bad news. Very bad news. Economics are bad. But generally, things will get so strife-ridden and so terrible that people will rebel. They'll attempt to, we'll say, live away from government, if not fully against government. And we'll be facing very bad situations. I think the turnaround then will come in 10 years from that point, but not without great losses. We will have already lost most of what we could have saved in the process. So that's not a good outcome. But that's still not the worst. What's the worst? Well, here it comes. That's a 200-year option. 200-year option is that the United States completely fails as a country. We're the leading country of freedom in the world. And the world goes completely dark. What does that mean? Well, every country is run by a totalitarian dictatorship. Some countries are cooperatively working together as larger units of darkness, just the way the Soviet Union did. And the Soviet Union will be revamped and revised. We will find crazy systems like Marxist socialism or Maoist socialism. It doesn't really matter. These models are just window dressing for people's need to control and dictate and take and be greedy and destroy. And although they claim to be classless societies, they become the most extreme of the opposite, with the few in power being the elite and the rest being slaves or serfs. That's what happens. And then that would be for another 150 to 200 years, depending upon how long it takes for this totalitarian thing to shift. Probably by 2030, 40, could see most of it developed, certainly by 2050. But then for another 150 years, people will be enslaved. The world population will fall to about a billion, give or take. And most people will be slaves. The people who will be the slaves the most will be the people who didn't fight for freedom in their prior lives. Think about that. If you want to not get involved, you may think what I'm saying is right, but you're not going to fight for it, and you're not willing to stand up and say anything about it, you're not willing to like me to get on the radio and talk about it, or do something about it. Well, you may pay for it so much in this lifetime. Maybe you're already in an age where you only got a decade or two left to live, so who cares, right? But you'll be coming back, and when you do, you're not going to be the elite. I guarantee it. You'll definitely be one of the vast majority of disadvantaged. It's almost like a restart. 200 years from now, we'll be the way we were 1,000 years ago. That's what we'll be. Now, will Earth survive? Maybe not. Then it's a coin toss, literally. 50-50 chance we won't even exist in the world. We'll wipe ourselves out, or some big rock from space or some other kind of calamity will happen. And it'll be the end. Because we're an experiment. We're an experiment in trying to overcome darkness, some of the worst kinds of evil, evil that's more mental, or as much mental as it is emotional, in some cases more. And it's a kind of evil that is kind of unique, because most evil is really almost exclusively astral, emotional. But this is a new evil that's going to spread throughout the universe, starting in this galaxy and some other ones, unless we find ways to overcome it here as an experiment. Earth is one of the few planets that's experimenting with trying to overcome it. It's not an accident. We're not here by accident. Our souls know why we're here. We're kind of in, you know, in illusion right now. But we know. And so to overcome it, we have to get rid of it by the things I said. Get rid of propaganda. Get rid of the lies and the ridiculous statements. I mean, I don't know if you've been hearing some of the things our dear president has been saying. Amazing stuff. Because 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 2 years ago, he said exactly the opposite. I mean, this is an administration with absolutely no concern for truth. I'll just say whatever fits the situation at the time. And that's not good. That's corruption. It's corruption of our minds at a minimum, if not the entire way the country's run. So that's just, and we're still the bastion of freedom. Still. But we won't be if things go really bad. And if we aren't the bastion of freedom, there's nobody going to replace us. The world's done. 200 years of darkness, maybe we'll get out of it. Or maybe we just end the world. The souls go to different planets. And it didn't work. We didn't find any answer for how to deal with monastic or mental evil. We didn't find a way of dealing with it. A most unfortunate position to be in. I'm hoping not. So let's finish this show on a positive note, okay? If you understand the principles of metaphysical principles of holistic health, you're on the way to understanding your creator. You're on the way to understanding how it is that we can live a much better life. And all the things that we have conflicts about right now are internally created because we've been rejecting these principles. And we can change that if we want. We can make it into a new kind of world. Not overnight. As I said, we've got some remedial work to do in the next couple of years. But yes, we can do it in our lifetime and certainly in the children's lifetimes. We can do it. We can bring them up with new principles. Those principles involve the same principles that the United States was originally founded on. Principles of charity and spiritual life. Some people call it faith. Principles of truth and wisdom in application of givings. These are the things that we can stand for. These are the things that we can make as part of our near future. That's a very distant future. I don't consider 10 years that long to really create something wonderful. And, you know, whether I'm going to be here or you're going to be here, it doesn't matter. If we at least start it now and we stand up for ourselves now and do the right things now, we can make a difference. The time is right now, believe me. Don't wait for a year or two because it'll be too late. We don't have that kind of luxury anymore because we have become duped. We have bought into a model which is anti-spiritual. A model of governance, a model of health, a model of almost every law that's recently been passed. And more a model of not caring about what's happening. That's the worst thing we can find. If you really, really just placate people and say, oh, I'll go along with the flow, it doesn't matter, you're making the greatest mistake possible. It's better to open your mouth and be wrong at this time than it is to be silent. Silence would be the worst of all the atrocities that we could possibly commit, because then those that seek the power will have it. And they're the most dangerous ones. They're the ones that shouldn't have it, and they will have it. Hopefully this has made some degree of sense. Very quickly, if you need help, with your house and you're losing your house, you can refinance getting a green loan from Kavita at 480-430-6911. Even if you're out of this state, she's in Arizona. She's actually in Chandler right now. But you can call her, and she will put you in touch with someone in your state to help you. If in most states, this is true, and she can help you. And you don't have to lose your house. And a lot of people are facing that dilemma. You can go green, and at the same time get a preferred loan that puts the payment so low. I mean, like, below what, 4% below. I don't even know what the interest rate is. It's very low. So that you can afford to live there, even though you're underwater. Even though your house is worth less than the loan you're going to get, they have ways of making that work. Depends how bad it is. But as the interest rate keeps getting lower, the chances are better and better that you can get these loans. So check it out with her. Give her a call. Okay, you probably know this. Within about 1 to 2 weeks, we're coming out with a pain formula. It was going to be called pain-free. Now I think it's going to be called Fai-Chi-Jizik. I don't know what it's going to be called for sure. I think it might be. But that's Fai-Chi, P-H-Y-Q-I. That's the Chinese spelling for Chi. Jizik is what we're looking at as possibly calling it. And this stuff is amazing. Amazing in that it gets rid of most of the pains people have. Now, I can tell you that on the radio. We can't put it on the bottle because the FDA will come after us and do bad things. And soon, I won't be able to tell you that on the radio. I'm telling you. Okay, so remember, if you really are concerned about your health, this stuff not only, in my opinion, not only gets rid of the pain, it does a lot to deal with the issues that are causing the pain. Again, can't tell you anything in writing or on the bottle about that. And I don't know how much longer I'll be able to say that either. But for right now, if you're interested in it, go to, I'm trying to think of who it is that you got to go to here. I don't even have the sheet. I think the company that's going to be selling it is foreveryoungproducts.com. You could go there. I don't think you can buy it yet, but that's where you're going to be going to. Or you can reach us at 800-777-7850, us being the spiritual group I'm part of. And someone will be able to tell you how to get it, because I don't know. Nobody gave me any information tonight about it. So anyway, we are running out of time. I hope this show has made some sense to you. This will probably be the last show that we have for a while, if not forever, that goes in 90 minutes or so. Next week will probably be at a shorter time length. I want to thank BBS Radio for allowing us to go this long for this many weeks that we have. And until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.